啊。
Senior ministers that have taken out time to be present here. We salute you in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you bring your counsel to us in simple, plain language. As Jesus would have done if he were physically present teaching us. Sound the alarm that is upon your heart for all ears to hear, and quicken our understanding of the significance of this season so that we may know how to take our journey of pilgrimage towards actualizing your plans. By all means, touch us and cause your face to shine upon us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you indeed. When we take a look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is a difference in the emphasis of each of the Gospels. There is an aspect of the Christ that is captured adequately and exclusively in each of the Gospels. For instance, the Gospel of Matthew views Jesus as a king. It is the book of the kingdom, it is the manual of the kingdom. And the book of Matthew uses a phrase exclusively. You will not find in any other book of the Bible the use of the phrase the kingdom of heaven. In fact, if you read it from the original linguistic position, it reads the kingdom of the heavens. It's in plural. And it's only Matthew in the entire Bible that uses that expression. And that phrase, the kingdom of the heavens, appears in the book of Matthew 33 times, suggesting to us that the book of Matthew is indeed the book of the kingdom of Christ. So if we want to understand the workings, the dynamics of the kingdom of God, then the textbook that we will need to consult is the text called the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is a compendium that reveals how the reign of God can be factored into the earth, the agency through which the authority and the dominion of God that is established in the third heavens can find effect upon the face of the earth. Unfortunately, just like we saw yesterday, the agency through which the dominion and the authority of God will be reflected upon the face of the earth happens to be man. If we take man out of the idea and the concept of the kingdom of God, then man has no active relevance in the agenda of God. So a lot depends on our capacity to align with God. Now, I want to begin by definition of terminologies, because the book of Matthew uses an exclusive terminology, the kingdom of the heavens. That is, if you read it from the Greek, that is what it is. If I had a board, I would have written it in Greek and showed you the S, what makes it plural. All right? So, but we don't have that. So we'll make do with what we have. Now, I want to use a scripture, because the psalmist in the book of Psalms 115 uses a scripture, there is a description that the psalmist uses that gives us an insight into what the book of Matthew means when the terminology, the kingdom of the heavens, is used. Are you there? And just like we attempted yesterday, we will try to do Bible study for 35 minutes. And the purpose of the Bible study is to bring us into full comprehension of the issues of discussion. When we adequately secure this comprehension, then we can do permutations. We can do interpolations. Are you there? Oh, you are not with me. Are you sure? All right. So, we can do interpolations. It's just like in a graph, all right? So you have the first point, you have the second point, you have the third point, you have the fourth point. You can follow that pattern to sustain or to project into points that are not captured by your statistical data. It is very easy. If you are going to be prophetic, there are seven standards to it. There are seven, apart from prophecy, which is exclusively divine. Your capacity to be prophetic follows seven classes, seven realms. For instance, if you want to know the future, many things are cyclical. Are you there? That's what the preacher said in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. What the picture he paints is the picture of cyclical reoccurrences that no longer sustains any possible purpose in the kingdom of God, because the Holy Spirit is not part of the cyclical movement. And that is the capacity that forms the object of what we call the world system, the cosmos. All right. Now, are you with me? If, for instance, a woman is pregnant, there are signs that shows that she's pregnant. If you are sick, there are signs that are projected that suggest that you are not feeling well. So even in spiritual seasons, there are signs. If you know how to read the signs, you will be able to interpret the season. You are even likely to know what is about, what is coming. Are you there? Number two, that's one, signs. So we can actually take this session to interpret a few signs that surround our generation. It will give us an insight into the times that we're dwelling without prophecy. Are you there? For instance, that's number one. Then number two, I said a lot of things are cyclical. My wife is my very close friend, so her period follows a 28-day cycle. It is from experience that we know that. Do you understand that? So when a new period comes, she can tell us, maybe if we start today, she can say the other one will come 28 days later, because she understands the cycle. Now, if you know the cycle of cities, the cycle of nations, you can actually give predictions without prophecy. There is a cycle of the move of God on your own life as an individual that you need to find out through patterns. My own cycle is 4 years. After every 4 years, in fact, by the time I exhaust the third year, I'm coming towards half of the third year, I begin to prepare myself for another cycle.
Because the encounters of God that have come to me are scientific. I can make a pattern out of it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So if you have not been a good student of the move of God that is on your own life, to understand the cycles, it means that you were not preparing adequately for your examinations because you don't know the cycle. There are patterns to everything. Meanwhile, that's number two. One is science. Two is cycle. And it is number seven that is prophecy. So most of us wait for prophecy and we relieve ourselves of the responsibility of interpreting signs and understanding cycles. Another thing that you need to know is history. Because history has a tendency of repeating itself. For instance, there was once upon a time in Nigeria when there was a Muslim ticket. Do you remember that time? You still remember it? Okay. Most of you here, you don't know that. But do you remember that time? When there was a Muslim ticket arrangement, the governor of Benue State was a reverend father. Now there is a Muslim ticket arrangement and the governor of Benue State is... I don't want to go into details. Oh, you are not following. So most of us are not researchers. I don't want to go into politics. I'm just trying to... There are many things I can say about that, that will give us indicators of the things that will happen in this season. You are not fully. So we have not reached prophecy yet. Let's go to the Bible. I think you will understand that more. Psalms 115, verse 15 and verse 16. Let's start from there. Now, the reason why I'm coming to this scripture, I'm trying to use this scripture to interpret to us what the book of Matthew means when it says the kingdom of the heavens. Are you there? That's why I'm consulting this scripture. As we progress in the teaching, I trust God for understanding. Okay? Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Verse 16 is my emphasis. It says the heaven, even the heavens. This is one of those scriptures that acknowledges the use of a plural word for heaven. And what we have in the book of Matthew in terms of the kingdom of the heavens follows the pattern of the plural word. So if we understand what this psalmist is trying to say in this scripture, it will give us a clue into what Matthew means when he says the kingdom of the heavens. Meanwhile, don't get me wrong, there are two terminologies that are not the same that are used in the Gospels concerning the kingdom. You must have read the kingdom of God. And that's a use that is mostly attributed to the book of John. But Matthew exclusively uses the kingdom of what? The heavens. Don't forget that there's a plural form of the word heaven. So this is Matthew. He said the heaven. Even the heavens are the Lord's. This scripture gives us an idea of jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. For those that are in the legal practice, we say that this court, a certain court, does not have jurisdiction on a matter. That means the court doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the stature to look into the affairs of a certain matter. Now, this scripture is the scripture of jurisdiction. And what the psalmist is trying to unveil here is that there is a certain aspect of heaven that is under the Lord's control. Not every aspect of the heaven is under the Lord's control. But there's an aspect of the heavens that is under the Lord's control. His kingdom is domiciled there. His authority is established, and he can manifest and exercise his authority to the fullest of extent. Are you following me? Good. If you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, there is a terminology used. I'm not asking you to go, but because you know the scripture. It speaks about spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, meaning that it's not every aspect of heaven that is under the control of our God. There is an aspect of the heaven that is not under the control of our God. It is under the control of darkness, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. What the psalmist is trying to make us understand is that there are layers of heaven. And by the time we go to the New Testament, particularly to the book of 2 Corinthians, we can establish that where God's authority is established and his will is being implemented to the fullest extent is what we call theologically the third heavens. So we know that the second heavens is under the control of the devil. And the earth, or the atmospheric heavens that embodies the earth, is the first heaven. Are you there? All right. So, what? Are you with me? Stay with me. Stay. Just stay. Let's do Bible study. If we begin to prophesy and all of that, you will not benefit much. The people that we prophesy to are the only people that will benefit. But in the ministry of the Word of God, as we intend to bring everybody to an upgraded understanding, everybody in this room, and even those that will be participating online, and those that will stumble on this material subsequently, will be blessed by this effort. So there is nothing we can do conclusively without an understanding of the ways of God, the principles of God, the dynamics of God. Okay? Now, so the third heavens belongs to the Lord. That's what David is saying. But the earth has he given unto the children of men. You know, I said that this scripture speaks about jurisdiction. It will interest you to know that this scripture is an unveiling of a royal decree. God is such a God that has vested his authority in his spoken word, our God. Our God has vested his authority in his spoken word. The reason why the word of God is so critical to we, the people of God, is because God has decided to vest his authority in his word. In fact, the Bible reveals that God has exalted his spoken word above his name. And the implication of that is that when God speaks, God's words become law, and even God himself becomes subject to the things that he has spoken. Now, if you understand the authority that is vested on the spoken word of God, are you there? You will realize that God will not use words the way we use words. You with me? For instance, you know, if you read the Gospels, you will see how humorous Jesus was. You will see how friendly Jesus was. Jesus could interact with children and he could connect with them. He could interact with statesmen, he could connect with them. He could interact with normal countrymen, he could connect with them. As humorous, as friendly, as attractive as Jesus was, Jesus never cracked a joke. Never. And I'm not saying don't crack jokes. I'm just talking about Jesus. The reason why Jesus never cracked a joke was because if Jesus should come to you and say, your head big, your head will become big. See, he can't use words the way... There's so much authority vested on his words such that he cannot use them the way we do. Is that clear? So God's words are his bonds. There is no way you can walk with God if you don't take his words seriously. You don't understand God. All of his authority. In fact, the way you know God is based on what he has said. Because those are the things he's willing to submit to. All of God's authority is infused in his words. So his words are elements of instruments of government. So when God says that he has given the earth to the sons of men, it is a royal decree. And even God himself cannot violate it. Even if he wants to. And this situation creates a situation of handicap. It means that it is illegal for God to come into the earth realm and begin to operate without partnering with man. Do you see that? So we can delay what God wants to do. We can't deny it. He's sovereign. He's so wise. He was never created. So he has so much knowledge. There's nothing you can actually hide from him. So he will still manipulate his way and bring his plans to pass. But the only thing that will suffer loss is that we will not be part of the implementation of his plan. He can wait for us to die. Then he raises our children that are not rebellious to accomplish his plans. He dwells in eternity. He doesn't have business with time. We are the ones that are getting old. He is the ancient of days. It's actually a privilege to work with God. As we go on, you will realize it. That the greatest honor that God gave us is that he included us in his labors. And part of the deliberate things he did to include us in his labors are this kind of decrees that he made. Giving us the estate of the earth as our own jurisdiction to manage. Do you understand that? So if God is going to manage the earth, for instance, he's going to do it through me and through you. And that brings the issue of alignment. Now, what Matthew had in mind when he used the terminology, the kingdom of the heavens, is what I'm trying to explain to us. Even though the earth has been given to us, are you there? Even though God now rules and reigns in the third heavens. Are you still with me? What Matthew means by the kingdom of heaven is that men upon the face of the earth, in a bid to achieve alignment so that they are extensions of God, they are extensions of his purposes, so that they are extensions of his administration. Are you there? They are ruled from the third heavens. So man will have to be ruled from the third heavens in order for him to be an accurate representation of the mind of God. That's what the book of Matthew is about. But I'm just trying to labor to bring us to the understanding of the schematics first before we begin the detailed journeys. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Part of the reason why I always ask of time before we start talking is because we can't finish this. If we were to exhaust the whole of today, we can't finish this thing I want to open. So I'm trying to summarize it to give us a basic understanding. And then you will discover that it's a privilege to be in the service of God. I mean accurate service. Not the one that you are doing your thing, running your show, but you are using the name of Jesus to endorse it. But you are the one that is actively operational. Now, in that your arrangement, you are cut off from... So So what you are doing is that you are major, is an earthly activity. And because you are cut off from heaven, your activity cannot strike a chord in the realm of eternity. It cannot enforce, it cannot implement the policies of heaven. So you don't have the backing of heaven. If you might be the best theologian in Nigeria, but that doesn't mean that people will hear you. It doesn't mean that. Are you still with me? All right, so God is domiciled in the third heavens, and he has established his kingdom there. Everything responds to God's authority. In fact, the way God intended it is to make the earth to operate the same way heaven is operating. So you are going to see the earth-heaven linkage. The earth-heaven linkage. For instance, the Bible says there is a relationship, there is a linkage between the earth and the heavens. And I'd like us to see that in Matthew chapter 18. Yes, Matthew 18, verse 18. And show us the earth-heaven linkage. There is a protocol, a passage that God has put in place to synchronize the activities of the earth with the activities of heaven. And when we study this layout, you are going to see that there is one inevitable factor that we cannot separate from the arrangement. On the strength of that factor, we are going to see how it is, that a man that is on earth can be adequately connected and aligned to the heavens 24 hours a day. And that man will become God's instrument to begin the recovery of establishing the government of God upon the face of the earth. The earth-heaven linkage, you'll find it in the book of Matthew chapter 18, beginning from verse 18. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." This is Jesus speaking. Even though there are differences between locations in terms of the earth is a distinct location different from the heavens, we have a linkage. A linkage that can bring the influence of heaven into earth. If you look in your family and you find out that the way your family is currently constituted, it seems to carry the marks of the devil's initiative much more than the marks of the divine initiative. If you find that arrangement in place, God is not the problem. You are the problem. The patterns that you see there that seem to be implementations of the will of the devil is suggestive of the fact that there is someone in that family, either closely related or in the extended family, that has a robust relationship with Satan. And based on his robust relationship with Satan, he has brought the dimensions of the second heaven and he has superimposed it upon the family. So the family sustains the outlook of the wisdom of the second heaven. And that is possible because of what we call the earth-heaven linkage. There are things that we can do that can bring the influence of heaven into our domain. There are things that we can do that can bring the dynamics of heaven, the advantages of heaven, the reinforcement of heaven, the technology of heaven into our domain. And we can use that technology to outsmart every other initiative of the kingdom of darkness seeking to gain mastery of the territory. But remember, the earth has been given unto what? The sons of men. So in this arrangement that we see in the book of Matthew, you will discover that the initiative must begin from earth. It must start from earth. If you want to bring heaven into your space, then the responsibility must begin from earth. Because this is our domain. If God initiates the process, it means God is trying to break his own laws. We will need to initiate the process to bring heaven, the influence of heaven, to bring the dimensions of heaven into the earth. It is very possible to bring those dimensions, but you will be the one to initiate what? The process. And so the Bible says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind, you must begin the process. On earth, it shall be what? Bound in heaven. If you disallow it, we will disallow it. If you accept it, we will accept it. So in this arrangement, we can define prayer. The accurate definition of prayer can be gotten from this arrangement. Just in case you have a notebook and you want to write something, then you can define prayer to be earthly permission for heavenly interference. Earthly permission for heavenly what? Interference. We are creating the resources on earth are not adequate to bring the to occasion the kind of change that God likes. So we use our connection to heaven to permit heaven to come here to invade this place, to shape it according as the third heavens currently is constituted. So prayer is what? Earthly permission for heavenly what? Interference. Now, we have resources in heaven. There is power in heaven. There's authority in heaven. There's prosperity in heaven. There's grace in heaven. So the way God designed life is that we should use the resources that are domiciled in heaven to prosecute natural life. And the reason... Are you there? And part of the reason, part of the evidence to show that that's how God designed life to be, is that he created us insufficient. Have you read the scripture that says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Can you put it on the screen? Hallelujah. Before I open down my diary, I would like us to do the basics. When we finish doing the basics, the advanced one is what I wrote in that diary. I pray we'll get to where we will consult that diary. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, I have desired to come to Kano for a long time. Long time. And from next year, we'll be more consistent. Because I have seen... Amen. I have seen what God wants to do in the city of Kano. It's a great, great thing that God wants to do. In fact, if I can tell you reliably based on my little relationship with Jesus, God has moved to the north. Yes. He has moved. Some of the greatest kingdom activities that will be taking place in Nigeria will begin. You'll be hearing those sounds from the north now. And so we too need to move our resources to the north, so that we will be laboring with God, you know? So we have to move our resources. We have to move. It's a great privilege to serve Jesus. Please be seated. Please be seated. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves. You see, the idea is that God designed us to be insufficient in yourself. He designed the earth to experience lack, insufficiency. And the reason for this design is so that we can realize that our sufficiency is of God. So, we look to the hills from whence comes our help. Now, this is the Greek word for man is anthropos. Go and check it. Anthropos means the being that was designed to look upward. The word anthropos is a revelation of the relationship that exists between the sun and the moon. Those of us that did elementary geography know that the moon doesn't have light in itself. So the light that the moon reflects is the light that comes from the sun. And if the moon is going to reflect any light at all, it must be adequately angulated to the sun so that it can get light from the sun. That's the idea of anthropos. It must look up to its source. So God created us insufficient in the natural, so that all of us will need to look to our source, because it's that which you have received from your source that you can reflect. Are you seeing it? So a man that is aligned to heaven, a man that is aligned to God, must have understood that he himself, by himself, is insufficient. And that the sufficiency God has made available to power his life is not on earth. Where is it? You know, yesterday, you people were not here. So, there were many things I wanted to say to you that I couldn't say because, you know, I read the scripture in the book of Psalms 92. And I showed us the judgment that God gave the gods. The first judgment was mortality. And the second judgment was that they fell like one of the princes. They had a place that would give them access to the economy of heaven. And they fell from that position. So they no longer had the opportunity to be able to draw from the resources of heaven, from the technology of heaven. They were now measured into time, like Methuselah. Only having the capacity to produce sons and daughters like all other animals in the animal kingdom. No longer vested with the authority to be able to implement things that are sustained in heaven. The idea of a man is a creature. That's why you have a spirit. That's why you have your tripartite. With your spirit being is calibrated. Is calibrated to be able to respond and to relate effectively with spirit beings, with the spirit realm. And now that you are born again and the Holy Ghost is in your spirit, man, the calibration, what you have at work in your spirit theologically is what we call the mingled spirit. For the Bible says that anyone that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, it's just like you take Fanta. How many of you know Fanta? Then you take Coca-Cola. Do you still know Coca-Cola? If you mix it, what's the name of the mixture? Alright, so anything you call it. But it is different from what either pure Fanta or pure Coca-Cola. Am I still in order? Alright, so that's the arrangement you have in your redemption. When the Holy Spirit came to tabernacle your spirit, it produced what we call the mingled spirit. It's no longer two spirits. It's one economy. Do you get that? It's not like someone that has a Honda and you had engine problems with your Honda and you now decided to put Peugeot engine in the Honda. It still has the body of a Honda. Looks like a Honda. It has the crest of a Honda. But in terms of performance, it will perform like a Peugeot. You get that? So, what God did was that he mingled his spirit with your spirit. So, because it is now one arrangement, that spirit of God there that is in your spirit, are you there? For the Bible says that no man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that is in him. Even so, knoweth no man the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible says, now we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. It means now that I can know the things of God because I'm operating with the mingled spirit. It means now that the capacity of my recreated spirit is much more than the capacity of my human spirit. Think about it. what my recreated spirit is capable of achieving, the performance level is not based on the capacity of my human spirit. The performance level is based on the capacity of the Holy Ghost that is in my spirit. So I can know things that only the Holy Ghost can know. I can do things that only the Holy Ghost can do. And that's what Paul meant when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's only God that can do all things. But the God that can do all things is alive in my spirit, giving my spirit the added capacity to come into that economy of all things. And that is a possibility that is only achievable from the dimensions of the heavens. So there is this heaven-earth compatibility. I need to show you this picture clearly and show you how to bring heaven, the resources of heaven, the advantages of heaven, the dimensions of heaven. When I'm done with the teaching, then we'll go into practical. I will show you practically. Because the kingdom of God is not in world. The gospel we are going to preach this day, that is going to rend the heavens, rend the earth, and the cuttings that philosophies have placed over the lives of men, over nations, that gospel is a gospel of sufficiency that will be proclaimed by men that have access to the economy and the resources of heaven, and they can make it available in real time to make up for the insufficiencies of humankind. You can't remove man out of the equation of God's influence on the earth. That's the idea from the first place. Alright, so if we go back to the book of Matthew, the first thing you are going to see is that there's an earth, there's this earth-heaven relationship, and in the center of that relationship is the effort of man. Whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Should I say, in addition, that's the first, the effort of man cannot be taken away from the equation. The second thing that you will see in that, are you there? That equation is that earth was designed to control heaven and not the other way around. It means nothing will happen. If you do nothing, nothing will happen. That's what I'm saying. Please help me preach. Help me preach to your neighbor. If you do nothing, tell your neighbor, because nothing will happen. So when you take a good look at your life is a reflection of the things that you were willing to allow. Because the Bible says we can actually bind things, we can end the dominion of things, and we can lose things, we can release things. Yeah, so if your life is a full reflection of the things that you have allowed. Meanwhile, the person telling us this is Jesus. There is no way we would have known it if Jesus did not unveil it. He was in a good mood in this particular scripture. So he began to unveil things that we have no means of knowing. So if I do nothing, nothing will happen. The third thing that you must pick from this scripture is that heaven is a place of the resources. The resources are stacked in heaven, and earth is a place of lack. So it is in your interest to explore the storehouse of heaven, because that's where the resources that are designed to power the agenda of God upon the face of the earth, that's where it is. So in heaven there's sufficiency. In heaven there's no lack. In heaven there's no sickness. And we can export the products that are in heaven, and we'll bring it where? And the only way that will happen, I will tell you the theory of alignment very soon. The theory of alignment is what Matthew preached throughout his book. Do you realize that it was one man that brought an entire nation out of captivity? From historical perspective, because we have read into some of those documents, if those documents are reliable, then the number of men that came out of the land of bondage were 3 million. That's men, not women. One man was able to bring a nation of 3 million out of captivity. Do you know what that means? He will provide water for 3 million men and their wives and their children. Provide food for 3 million men. Defend 3 million men. Defend 3 million men. So he was their security system. He was their economic system. He was their administrative system. He was their Ministry of Water Resources, Ministry of Defense. Think about it. Where did he get the resources to provide that kind of service? You are not seeing it. This guy had access to unthinkable resources. That's what happens to one man. Do you know that one man, that's the capacity of one man that is adequately yielded to explore the possibilities that are in the heavens? It is unthinkable. And that's why there's a lot of business in Bible teaching and preaching to liberate our minds, because that the bondage is there. Satan gives you another picture, and you see yourself that, like an orphaned personality that needs help. Alright? As long as you wear that picture, you have been deceived to be believing that God did not make plans for you before you came here. And then Satan can even use that and paint God in a bad light. And then you see yourself as unfortunate. See yourself as, oh, if I had come from another family. You don't need to change anything. All you need to do is to tap into what? The resources of heaven. Through this arrangement. Do you understand it? Okay, let's go to the next verse. So this is one of the possibilities. Next verse. Again, that means Jesus is still in the mood. Still in the mood. So he's still trying to show us more possibilities that are bound toward us. I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. You can still see the same principle at work. Earth controls heaven. Even though the resources are in heaven, if earth does nothing, the resources cannot be accessed, cannot be mobilized. In fact, this scripture doesn't even reveal that the Father will say no. Even though it's the Father that is a final endorsing authority, the scripture doesn't even reveal that he will endorse anything that is contrary to what we have agreed. Are you there? Now, you see, he now takes us to verse 20. Verse 20 now shows us the reason why these two possibilities are possible. Verse 20. That's the secret. That's the engineering aspect. The structure that is in place that guarantees those two provisions. If you are still with me, say, Amen. He said, for where two or three are gathered in my name. He said, there I am in the midst of them. So, what makes our earthly actions strike a chord in heaven is called the presence of God. Are you there? Good. So, and that presence of God is what you have in your recreated human spirit. The sons of the bondwoman pray and they fast. In fact, I think they are fasting now. Now, the question is, what is the difference? Garba, what's the difference between their fasting and your own? What's the difference between their prayer? Like, you know, every day they are praying. What's the difference? That thing they are doing doesn't have the backing of the presence of God. Our own has the backing. Don't worry, I will illustrate it during the practical. Our own has the backing of the presence of God. So if it is their priesthood doesn't have the potency to stop you from achieving what God wants you to achieve. So if we are living like Gideon, the days of Gideon, where we are hiding in no man's land and someone get into trash, because it is the problem is not the sons of the bondwoman. The problem is because Gideon did not understand who he was. So the angel had to come give him a salutation according to his true identity. I was telling my brother, he's a missionary in the interiors. He labors among, right there. Sometimes I can't even communicate with him for weeks because maybe where he is, there's no network. Those are the kind of places he operates. So I was telling him that as long as there are sick people in that village, I am relevant. Because I have found a key to unlocking some things in heaven when I say in the name of Jesus. If I can... Are you there? Now, I'm not saying this boastfully. I'm just... Oh, if you know me, I'm not a proud man. All we are... What are we? Without His grace, what are we? So, I'm not trying to show you that I'm such a great preacher. No. I've grown beyond that. I've grown to a point where I discovered that without God's grace, I am nothing. I'm not. So, from nation to nation, you might say, okay, the serpent of Ethiopia dwells here. I found how to take advantage of resources in the heavens that can suspend that serpent as long as I'm around. So it doesn't matter what is obtainable in the city of Canaan. What makes the difference is that you have the support, the backing of the presence of God. That's what makes your own fasting different from other kinds of fasting that are done. That's what makes your own prayer different from other kinds of prayer that can be done. So there is presence, this presence of God that is factored, that propels, that prompts what you are doing. It is that prompting, it is that energy that drives your activity that gives it heavenward potential. As long as you have that link, it means that you have access to resources, such resources that will swallow up all the symptoms of your insufficiency. If you are still with me, say amen. This is the grand vision that God has been trying to sell to us in New Testament Christianity. But all through the years, because I've done quite some study, all through the years, I've seen that we have not yet fully, even in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, they did not fully maximize this matter that I'm talking about. And that's why there's a season of the later rain. Those guys were the former rain. Those guys were just exploring those possibilities. What you saw there were primary exploration of those possibilities. The season of the later rain is a season where there will be a complex tertiary exploration of the possibilities that abound in the heavenlies. And the output of that which will find expression in that season will best everything you read about in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Yes, the book of Acts of the Apostles will be our starting point. The current recovery is so that we can get to where they operated. And when we arrive at where they operated, there's still room for us to what? Advance way beyond it. Even Jesus himself said, greater works shall ye do because I'm going to the Father. My own exploits on earth will cease because I'm going to change location. Alright? But my exploits in the heavenlies through my priesthood will begin. And it will guarantee that your own exploits will be greater than the things that I did. Are you there? So prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. And the idea of that which was revealed through Matthew was that men upon the face of the earth are supposed to be governed by the throne of God that is domiciled in the third heavens. And the only way that is possible is that we give ear to understanding how the Holy Spirit registers our compliance to God on our hearts. How many of you know that when you do something wrong, if you are still in spiritual health, the Holy Spirit inside of you will make you feel uncomfortable? Meanwhile, if you do something wrong and you no longer feel uncomfortable, you are not in spiritual. It's an emergency. It's a very terrible emergency. It means that you have become reprobate. You can no longer synchronize with the senses of the spirit. That's a state of paralysis. That state of paralysis is a dangerous state because you don't even know if the Holy Spirit has left you. So it's a bad place to be. And that is the reason why we need to accept the authority of the Holy Ghost. If you are going to operate maximally, there are a few things that you cannot escape. So in order for us to be creatures that are being powered from the heavens, there are five things that must characterize your life. Five things. The first thing is that you must acknowledge that in yourself you are inadequate. It must come to you as a revelation, because many of us still boast in the flesh. Many of us still boast about our mental capacity. Many of us still boast about our wealth and flaunt our vehicles in town as a sign that, a time came in the body of Christ where the proof of the fact that you have met with Jesus is that you have maybe a flashy car or something. Meanwhile, they didn't read the Bible when Satan was advertising the fact that he was in custody of all the glories of the earth. We cannot gain so much mileage without accurate doctrinal accuracy. A time came when people felt rhymes and readings was equivalent to the Word of God. That was a weak theology that produced people without conviction. And Christianity was reduced to buttons, pressing buttons, and keys. Go check the preaching of Jesus. Find out how many keys he unveiled. Keys. Jesus did not preach like that. He gave us an idea of a lifestyle that was totally dependent on the resources that came from the heavens. If you want to summarize New Testament Christianity, then it is Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. If you want to summarize it, that's a summary of Christianity. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So what I do is that I take advantage of the presence of Christ, who is manifested in my spirit as the Holy Ghost. You see, it's the Holy Ghost that operates the office of Christ in your heart. You're not with me. For instance, we have a president in Abuja, President Buhari. And then we have a governor in Kano, Governor Ganduje. Am I right? I'm not a politician. Sometimes I may not be right. So the presence of Buhari is felt through the influence of Ganduje in Kano. So Jesus is the administrator. He's the Christ. But his office becomes, he brings his office to you. He brings the dimension of his administration to you through the workings of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit is in your heart, not as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your heart as the Christ. It is in that room that he is operating. Do you get? That's why the Bible says he will not speak of himself. He doesn't come to bring his own preferences. It's that which he hears. That's what he brings. Because he's there in representative capacity. I don't know if anybody here has been privileged to represent maybe a political office holder. And then you go to read a speech. You are not reading that speech as you. You are just using your vocal cord to read the speech of the person that sent it. It is in that way that the Holy Spirit is in your heart, representing Jesus Christ right there in your heart. So when you begin to relate with the Holy Spirit, you're actually relating with the Christ. And he's saying, it is no longer I that lives. So my own preferences that will come from the promptings of my flesh are not the things that I endorse. The things I endorse are the things that are coming from the promptings of Christ. Are you there? This scripture gives us an idea of something that is greater than change. Huh? The story told here is not a changed life, this one. The story told here is an exchange life. Exchange. It's no longer I, it is. Oh, you're not with me. We'll stop there. We'll stop there for now. Let us think about this one till evening. And then in the evening we'll continue. You know, hallelujah. It's not changed. You know, we used to sing those days, the things I used to do, I do them no more. That is change. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do. Those of you that were not born again in the 80s, you don't know this. I do them no more. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. This was the major praise and worship those days. You can see that it's still anointed. But it is not changed. Is exchange. That it is not you again. It's another person. So your true personality. Are you there? In the new creation, your true personality is not the personality that sits in your soul. It's the personality that has come to take residence in your spirit. You must deny the preferences coming from the seat of intelligence in your soul and accept the promptings coming from the Christ that is in your spirit. For instance, if Tenas gives me a slap and then my soul analyzes it, he said 400 people saw you being slapped. It means 400 people know that you are not a man. You are not masculine. You don't have capacity. Is it? Are you there? It's coming from the soul. Satan is speaking through the flesh. What the flesh is to Satan is what your spirit is to God. The flesh is the infrastructure from when Satan operates. The spirit is the infrastructure from when God operates. So Satan is speaking through your flesh. And then you are hearing it. Then the flesh now tells you the only way you can redeem your image is to use this left leg. You go like this way. Then you... All of those promptings will be inside. But you deny those promptings to leave out the promptings coming from the Christ. That's the exchange. We are not talking about improving your life. We are talking about exchange. Because the Bible says that in Antioch, the believers were first called Christians. They were exchanged. They saw Christ in every single vessel. Are you there? When we come in the evening, I'm going to show you how to take robust advantage of the presence of the Christ that is in your heart through the Holy Ghost. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. So we are the bridge to bring heaven, all of heaven into the earth to come through us. Do you know what prayer can do? Real prayer that we are praying from understanding. Oh. We pray some prayers, maybe 3 prayer points on Sunday night. Watch those prayers come to pass. Watch them. If we know how to wield prayer like that, we'll prophesy less. And our prayers can bring performances. Meanwhile, I don't have any attempt to take that song from the body of Christ. Huh? That's not the reason why I sang it. We can still sing it. You can bear witness, the song is still anointed. There is the great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. You can sing your song, but remember, the estimate is not change, it is exchange. The flesh will be prompting you for attention, but you refuse the flesh the opportunity to give you instructions. You receive your instructions from the Christ. When you live like that, your life will be a reflection of Christ, reflection of heaven. You will manifest the culture of heaven. Hallelujah. You are going to be impeccable. You know, I worked in the oil industry. We were, if you rise to the level I was, and you are in custody of one of the stamps that is used to facilitate oil deals and oil transactions, you are a big man. At least, according to Nigerian standards, you are a big man. If I were corrupt, I can use that stamp to make at least 1 million in a month. And in December, November to December, on many millions. That I won't touch my salary at all. But maybe I'll be dead now. Maybe I'll be dead. So when we refuse to be corrupt, they say we were crazy. See, the world can't understand that. Why you will not steal? I consider the investment of Christ greater riches than the 1 million I would have stolen. So you can't have both. It's either you betray Christ and you have a broken heart but a heavy pocket. And then your resources will come from your pocket, or you have a flat pocket and your resources will come from. That is the reason why the devil wants you to compromise, so that you cannot access the unlimited resources of the heavens that will come to you through Christ. Okay, I've done enough teaching. I have 30 minutes to go, so we use these 30 minutes for practicals. What I'm trying to do now is to reach into heaven and bring some of the resources I find there down here. Huh? I think that's a simple practical. Now, let's create a stage for it, okay? Now, this is what we're going to do. I have 30 minutes I will use. Let's use 5 minutes to mobilize. What I mean by mobilization is, forget about every distraction around your life. Maybe the person sitting close to you is a distraction. Forget about that person. Maybe you came here and you are broke. It's time for you to pay your house rent, to renew your house rent. Forget about the house rent, at least for this moment. Can you do that? Then let's just pray in tongues. Set your heart only on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Just set your heart there. You don't need to stand. If you are more comfortable, in fact, don't stand, sit down. You will be distracted. Just set your heart. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the presence. And set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your heart there. In that place where there is no lack. In that place where there is no sickness. In that place where there is no want. God is the satisfaction of that realm. God is the source of that realm. His light is the illumination of that realm. Set your heart on it. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, to generate energy, to generate divine strength, there is a place where there is no insufficiency. There is a place where there is no lack. The realms of God, the islands of the divine, that's where we come. That's where we come. For the Bible says that we have come unto Mount Zion. We are come. We are come. That's our place. It's the nation of our nationality. It's the place of our reality. We are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Come, Sahiko Mahabala. Indomonomosaka Dalibo Korea. Semine Tobeli, Mago Senteli, Akai Topeno Makadala, Roskasi Kopavo, Veranas Ambolote, Ibro Kobeba Minas Satelia, Rando Seka Panda Baboria. We are come unto Mount Zion. We are come unto the city of the living God. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't focus on the preacher. The preacher can give you nothing. I'm not sure.
Now listen. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. So what we just did is that we went into heaven. So I brought some things back. And that's how I solve all my problems. I just go there. Then I receive the wisdom on how to solve the problem. So when my enemies believe that I'm trapped, they are going to rejoice over me. Then I go there. Listen to me. I saw in the spirit. I saw anointment. Anointment transparent like water. Colorless. I saw that ointment in the heavens. And when I inquired, now what people should go and sit down. Don't block. Sit down. So I saw this ointment. And I asked what it was meant for, and I realized, in fact, the name of the ointment is Isal. Is an ointment that will be used to wash your eyes so that you can see. Many of you are blind. Two people will receive that ointment. Their eyes will be washed. They will start seeing into the realm of the spirit. So that's one. Lord, choose the next person that is going to carry this eye star. I beheld and I saw two angels. I saw two angels from heaven. And I was wondering, what is your purpose? Then I noticed that these angels were carrying something like a lamp. So I asked, what is this about? He said it is a revelational gift. That this revelational gift will only go into operation when the people go to sleep. That's why it's a lamp. When they are sleeping, then the lamp will be switched on. Then in that state of their dreams, God will take them and show them great and mighty things that they do not know. Now, two people will receive that lamp in a moment. There's an anointing that will install it. 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 There's an anointing that will install. I see.
I see a linen garment, a linen garment coming down from heaven. And anytime I see that garment, it means that there's somebody in the congregation that has the ministry of carrying the presence of God from place to place. This person is a lady. He's a lady. There is. Now, one of those ladies that is supposed to carry the presence of God from place to place, you are in the choir here, one of them is here. And the hand of God will come upon you in the next 17 seconds. You are in the choir. You are in the choir. You are in the choir. The hand of God will come on you so intensely, so mightily, because you are a vessel designed to carry the presence of God from place to place. The hand is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. There's a young man in this congregation. You were meant. Oh my God. Your ministry is in the area of deliverance. And you are not a city preacher. Your strength will be made more manifest in rural areas, local places. Because you have the calling of an evangelist. The hand of God will come upon that young man. You will take the gospel. You will take the gospel from place to place. You will discomfit the power of the enemy. There is something stronger than the cutting wall of the bomb woman. There is something stronger than that philosophy. There is something stronger than that intimidation. For five minutes. Oh my God. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are baptized. There is a connection between the earth and the heaven. You can breathe into the earth. Resources that are stockpiled in the heavenly places. You are that connection, that pipe, that conduit pipe. It's time to mount up in the spirit. It's time to mount up. It's time to mount up. It's time to mount up.
Is God's hasela? Is that not the babo dokode? Akaite, Akaite, Rakasukala, Akapaitalo, Apama Apasa, Ibrasala Bona, Asabenakaria, Asesis, Asasusanua Mata, Ikopraka Bakute. I come up the Paswa and Samaka Tabakote, Asesila, Akrakata Babokodo, Rakatede, 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 Rakamasalabote, Rakamapote, Tashi, Rakamapu Satwa, Rakamasata, Rakamapola, Rakasate, Rakapodia, Akrapatete, Asakopra, Amatatei, Alexus, Rakapuste, Rakapas.
Placa, 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 placa Let my incense rise to you. Oh, let my incense rise. Let my prayer rise. Let it reach your heaven. Sweet melody. Let my worship rise. worship.
Let my worship.